Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things. What was he talking about? He was talking about the needs that we have. This is more than just our spiritual needs, it's our needs. How many know that we got needs? Praise God. All of us have different types of needs, whether it's physical needs or financial needs. But the greatest need that we have is a spiritual need. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit in greater measure than we've ever experienced. And I believe, boy, I'm going to try to preach today, but I just got all kinds of things raising up inside of me. I believe that we have entered a time where a liberty has come. And there has been a reprieve. We have an opportunity. The body of Christ has an opportunity right now, not to sit down and be comfortable, but to push forward harder than we've ever pushed, and to see the presence of God, because God has assigned a time for an outpouring of His Spirit. We are ripe for another move of God that is going to shake the church and shake the world and is going to dumbfound most of us. And there's one thing that we have got to maintain and grab hold of. We have constantly got to walk in the awe of God. Because if you don't walk in the awe of God, you become a critic of everything that God's doing. You start criticizing, saying, well, I don't like that part, and I don't like that. There's not a move of God that's ever happened in this world that hasn't had things wrong with it. Amen. To be wrong by the church, because it was different. It wasn't normal. It wasn't like we've done it before, and things like that. That's the words of a dying church. We've never done it like this before. Praise God. Well, just think about the disciples on the day of Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost. Think about what they went through when they'd never done it like this before. Amen. As I preached last Sunday about Cornelius, they'd never done it like that before. Peter had never preached a message like that before. They'd never seen anything like that before. But when they got back, and Peter testified to the church, because he was in trouble for going to the Gentiles and preaching and letting them in on what God was doing, you know, because they wasn't supposed to be in on this. And when he got finished, all they could do is stand in awe of God and say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. God did it. Amen. Praise God. And I wonder, I have to anticipate and wonder, what is it that's going to cause us to stand back and say, well, I don't understand this, not sure I like it, but God did it, so hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So God is moving in I really don't feel very good today, but for some reason I feel really great right now. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, I've already read that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Amen. The agenda of the body of Christ has got to be to begin to seek first God, to seek first His presence. Busyness isn't going to get the job done. Amen. Busyness is not going to get the job done. The presence of God, the glory of the Lord, the manifestation of who He is what's going to get the job done. Amen. Because what God's about, What God's about to do is going to be a mystery to us. It's not going to work like it should work. Matter of fact, it's going to be different than what we could even have dreamed of. And it's going to catch us off guard because it's already happening. It's not going to it is happening right now. It is already happening. And most of us are going to be trying to catch up with this thing once we realize what's happening, what's going on. And some of us are going to feel like we've been shot out of a cannon because all of a sudden the presence of God, He has been preparing and preparing and preparing, getting ready, getting ready, getting ready. And all of a sudden we're going to feel like we've been shot out of a cannon because we're going to go from not knowing how to do this thing to trying to figure out how to keep up with what's going on. Amen. Because God is releasing His presence to a people that are hungry, and He has always been releasing, but this is a time where God has said, I'm going to infuse my people with hope. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just think what would happen. Brother Rob got this started a couple weeks ago. Just think what would happen if all of a sudden the body of Christ suddenly became infused with the overwhelming anticipation of the goodness of God. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're not trying to get something to happen, but we are wondering what is going to happen today. What is God going to do today? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. I've been reading a lot lately about the different revivals that have taken place in the body of Christ. And as I've been studying these things and reading about them, there's a common characteristic in every one of them, and that is it gets out of control of people. It seems to, every time God starts moving, it seems to overwhelm the ability of people to understand how this thing works. And the ones that really go with it are the ones that simply submit and begin to worship and seek God with all of their heart and let God be God. Just let Him be God. Amen. Let Holy Spirit do what Holy Spirit does. Just let him change people's lives. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, this thing's going to break out in places that we thought were off limits to the presence of God. Amen. I really just didn't expect to do this today. But these things are just welling up inside of me. I'm just going to, as God gives them to me, I'm just going to let them go. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God. Why? Because everything is in Christ. A lot of times we ask the question, who am I in Christ? And you know, I understand that question, but we're asking the wrong question. We're asking that question based on us. Who am I in Christ? The question we need to start asking is, who is Christ in me? Who is Christ in me? Praise God. Because it's who He is and what He wants to manifest. That's what's important. A lot of us are trying to figure out what our identity is going to be in Christ. And there's certainly an identity change when Jesus begins to just totally consume our life. But the thing that we've got to constantly focus on is it's not about me, it's not about the changes I'm going through, it's about the manifestation of Christ in me. Because Christ in me is who changes people and changes things and causes things to work that should not work. Amen. He's the one that moves things that were unmovable. He's the one that breaks down walls that were impenetrable. He's the one that gives you steps when there was no steps. Amen. He's the one that builds bridges across chasms that we felt were uncrossable. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're walking on the presence of God and the faith of God across to the other side that we thought we could never get to. Some of you have been so hopeless in your lives about certain situations that you have got to the point where you feel like it's a fantasy. I'll never get there. It's not for me. I got to tell you something. God is fixing to build a bridge, and you're going to start walking on it, and you're going to find yourself on the other side in the presence of God. You never thought it was possible, but it is possible because God can do what we cannot do. And it's Christ in me that changes the circumstances and changes me and changes people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you are wondering, where's the relief? Where's the relief? The closer, the more God starts moving, the harder your life seems to get. Don't take it personal. Just keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on God. This isn't about you. It's about what God's doing. It's Christ in you. It's the change that's taking place that is challenging the normal and the obsessive and the problems of the enemy oppressing our lives. And that grip gets tighter when we start trying to pull it loose. But that doesn't mean you give up. It means you start pulling harder and saying, you will let go of me. You will let go of my life. You will not hang on to me. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. That in Jesus all fullness should dwell. Praise God. In Jesus all fullness. What is fullness? It means you lack nothing. You lack nothing. What you can't do, he can do. You lack nothing. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Hallelujah. In chapter 2 and verse 9, let's back up to verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I love that verse. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in what? Abounding in your faith. Praise God. What is it? What is it that energizes your faith? You heard it a couple weeks ago. Somebody tell me. What is it that energizes your faith? Hope. Praise God. Without anticipation, without hope, your faith will not be energized. You will not be able to push through. But when hope comes into faith, all of a sudden you have the energy, the power, and the anticipation to keep pressing, 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 and pressing. And you say, oh, it's too much. But hope keeps saying, it's not that much. We're almost there. And you start feeling like you can't go any further. And hope says, don't give up. You're almost there. And our body starts getting weak. Our mind starts getting overwhelmed. And Holy Spirit says, rest in me because we're almost there. I've almost got you there. Just rest in me. Hallelujah. He is the fullness. He has reconciled all things, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. This is where oppression moves in, where we start allowing the deceitfulness of people, the teachings of worldliness, and the traditions of men to begin to trap us and keep us from having anticipation of good. We get bound up in a mentality that is no bigger than our mortal lives. No bigger than what we are capable of doing. No bigger than what we can do in ourselves. Everything God asks me to do is always out of reach for me. Amen. People ask me all the time, how do you do this? How do you do that? I always tell them, I don't know. Really lets them down. They want a 10-step to do it, you know. Give me a 10-step. Tell me how to, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I tell them, I don't know. I don't know how I got here. I just said, Lord, I'm willing, and he somehow got me here and got this done, and I don't know how we got it done, but we got it done, and that's all I care about. Amen. As long as it gets done. When Holy Spirit tells us to do something, we cannot first check our bank account and check to see if it's possible for us. It'll never be possible. If it is possible for you, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Good ideas and opportunities are weights and bondages. Grab hold of that. Because there's a whole lot of people that have sunk because they went after good ideas and opportunities instead of getting a word from God. Just because it looks good. Matter of fact, in this last day, people are not going to be deceived by evil. They're going to be deceived by what seems to be a good work that is absolutely against the very faith of God. I'm going to say that again. People are not going to be deceived in this last day by absolute evil. But rather, people will be deceived by what looks like a good work, but goes completely against faith in Jesus Christ. But it looks good. It seems good. You know, Adam and Eve was not tempted by the evil, the knowledge of good and evil. They were tempted by the good they saw in the fruit. It was good for food, and it was pleasant to look at. It was good. Eve didn't say, well, it looks evil, but I'm going to eat it anyway. No, she said, well, it looks good. Amen. Praise God. Don't tighten up on me here. We've got to keep our eyes on the fact that there is a reality of Jesus Christ that we have to possess in our life in order to be free from the oppressive nature of this world. The oppressive nature of this world will wear you down until your faith is no bigger than what you can see, touch, feel, what you can accomplish, or what you can buy. I tell a lot of ministers here in the United States that talk about prosperity, I tell them, say, look, if God cannot bless you the same in Africa and India as He blesses you here, then it is the economy of the United States that is empowering you, not God. If you don't see miracles happen there in provision, then it's our economy that is blessing us. Now, don't tighten up on me here. Matter of fact, we have to learn to believe in God. We have to learn to believe that. It doesn't matter if it looks impossible. There's a lot of people today that see it as impossible for there to be a revival or a move of God in our younger generations. And yet in the 1960s, they thought the same thing with the hippie movement, and then all of a sudden it turned into a Jesus movement that had all kinds of weird stuff in it, but ended up birthing churches that caused people to come to Jesus by the thousands. And I got to tell you something, what we see as impossible is nothing for God. All He needs needs is to get a hold of a couple of people that infuse with hope and anticipation. And next thing you know, they start influencing all those around them. And even though it might start out and we're scratching our heads saying, well, it don't look right, it don't smell right, but I don't know what's going on. And next thing we know, Jesus starts emerging out of that thing and people start getting born again. Amen. I know that goes completely against a lot of our preferences and our likes and dislikes. But the fact is, Jesus went completely against Peter's preferences and even the teaching of the Old Testament that Peter had been trained in. He went completely against it in order to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And sometimes God is going to challenge us and get us to say, stand back and say, I don't like this. I don't know what's going on. But obviously God's doing something. Because he's going to reconcile all things. You know, for years there's been the teaching of a great falling away before Jesus comes. When I first started teaching, that was the dominant message. When I first started preaching the gospel, that was the dominant message. That there's a great falling away taking place. Jesus is coming and there's a great falling away coming. And so, consequently, we didn't prepare for anything. We didn't educate ourselves. We waited for Jesus to come because that was the only hope we had. And everything was going to go downhill and it was over with. That's what I grew up in. That's what I grew up hearing. Get ready for heaven. Get ready for heaven. Thank God for heaven. I like heaven. I'm ready for heaven. I just soon he come right now, today. But I got to tell you something. I do not have a hopeless outlook of the things of God because I don't live in this world. I live in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is not finished. And I'm going to declare this today. There is going to be one of the most dramatic moves of God in our day that this world has ever seen. We are seeing now and will continue to see, and we're about to see an awakening that's going to take place, is going to cause people to run to Jesus like never before. And it doesn't mean there's not going to be problems. Doesn't mean that there's, you know, the book of Revelation isn't going to be fulfilled. But I got to tell you something, God's not finished. He has given us a period of grace here, and he's handed it over to us and said, okay, now do something with this. And we've been seeing it all over the world. And America is going to see a refreshing and an awakening like we've not seen in years. And it is going to cause a lot of problems. You think we've seen problems? It's going to cause a lot of problems. It's going to be very controversial at first. And then it's just going to overwhelm. It's just going to overwhelm. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know some people would disagree with me. I don't really care if people disagree with me. I've never been one to argue with people. You know, I don't argue. I don't like to debate. Because in debating, foolishness takes over instead of wisdom. Our minds come up with answers instead of Holy Spirit. I just like to declare the word, and I just like to move with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When I first started preaching the gospel, everybody was preaching the great falling away. And a problem occurred. God started gripping my heart. In this great fallen way, God, for whatever reason, decided to visit me in my home. And caused a hunger to grip me like I'd never known before. I didn't even know what I was hungry for. I just knew I was absolutely miserable. I couldn't work. My poor dad, I was working with him at the time. I was trying to be assistant pastor of this church and worship leader. Just in my early 20s, working with my dad. And there's days that I just have to go home because I was absolutely useless. My poor dad, he couldn't get anything out of me. One day he looked at me and said, "Son, you might as well just go home." So I did. And the reason was because I was useless. I was so overwhelmed with a desire for God's presence that I couldn't even function. I didn't know what was going on with me. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know why. It was strange. It didn't seem like anything that I'd seen. And this kept going for 3 weeks. And it got to the point where I cried all the time. And those of you that know me know that that is something that just really doesn't happen. I mean, sometimes I think I'm just boo-hooing and my eyes are just moist, you know. But I got to the point where this river just began to gush out of me, and I couldn't do anything without just crying out to God. I'd try to mow the lawn. I'd be out there mowing, and I'd be out there screaming at the top of my lungs, "God, come, come. I've got to have you, God." And I couldn't do anything without just the presence of God. And then one night, He did show up, changed my life dramatically. And you know what He showed me? He didn't show me a great falling away. He showed me a tremendous move of God covering the whole globe. He took me from country to country. I saw oceans. That's why I love to look at Reinhard Bonnke's ministry, because it is exactly what I saw in the early 20s. And there was oceans of dark-skinned people crying out to God. Millions of people being saved. And I've got to experience that. God's allowed me to experience it. And I saw a great revival. A great move of God. So I started preaching that. You'd have thought I was the Antichrist. I mean, churches absolutely and pastors just got angry at me. Because I started preaching a great move of God. A great revival coming. A great outpouring of the Spirit of God around the world. And I would have pastors pull me aside and say, you are building up false hope in people because there's not going to be a great outpouring. There's a great falling away, and we've got to just simply hold on till Jesus comes. We got to strengthen ourselves and just hang in there because things are going to get worse. And I would tell them, no, God showed me there's a great revival coming. They would absolutely reject it. Wasn't wanted. Wasn't it accepted? Except there was one problem. Everywhere we went, there was a great outpouring of the Spirit. And God seemed to be, you know, it seemed to be a paradox. We would go into a church. I couldn't even read at the time. God had to give me the ability to read. Because I went all the way, many of you know the story. I went all the way through school never reading a paragraph in a book or anything. I never even read the instructions on a test. I picked everything up by osmosis. And I passed. But I couldn't read. I couldn't focus. And so I could never get to the end of a line. I'd try to read to the end of the line. Next thing you know, my eyes is up here, down here, over here. You know, and I mean, I could not focus. It was miserable. Well, God called me to preach. And so I had to deal with this thing. And so I began to say, "God, you're going to have to help me." I would get up and read the text, and I would stumble through the thing and then preach. And in that atmosphere, there would be waves of the presence of God, glory of God. People would run to the altars, and there would be wave after wave. I went and held a revival in a church over in Aurora. And we showed up over there, and the first night, the altars are full of people seeking God. And I thought, well, it's over with. And then it was like another wave would move to the church and more people would run to the altars. And then more people, it would just come wave after wave after wave. And I just stood back and watched it. And everywhere he went, there was a great outpouring of the presence of God. And everywhere I went, they were telling me it's not going to happen. And yet it was happening. But it wasn't going to happen. Amen. I had one pastor call me. I was there to preach, and he called me on Sunday afternoon after a tremendous outpouring of spirit on Sunday morning. And he called me and he said, I need you to come by my house before church tonight. I went by his house, sit down. He was sitting there watching football, and I thought we was going to pray. I thought we was going to talk about the church and ministry and whatever. And right before church started, he looked over at me and he said, son, I want to tell you something. There's not going to be a revival. And he said, I don't need you causing me problems in my church. He said, I got 2 more years to retirement, and I'm not going to let some little guy like you come in and tear things up for me. You know, it's like, I wasn't trying to tear things up. I was just simply presenting what God was doing. You know, I was just letting God be God. I mean, people were saved and filled with the Spirit that morning. There was healings taking place. And the church was just energized. Why? Because an oppressive mentality that was no bigger than the human mentality could possess had taken over and caused us to feel like it was impossible, it wasn't going to happen, and the only answer for us is to escape to heaven. I got to tell you something, one of these days that trumpet's going to sound and I'm out of here. One way or the other, I'm going to heaven. But that is not what God has called me to focus on. What He's called me to focus on is to present Jesus every day of my life, to see the presence of God move, to see the glory of God come, and to try to reach every person possible until that happens. Amen. And that's starting to happen again. Praise God. We're seeing it. We're seeing it happen. For in Him, let's read the rest of this. In verse 9, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. On the backside of this, I'm not trying to preach about revival coming, because now we have actually lived through several outpourings of the Holy Spirit since that day. And now we're talking about the great revival back in 95. This was in the early 80s. But now we're talking about the great outpouring in 95, or the great outpouring in 98, or, you know, all and things like that. The Father's Day outpouring and the blessing outpouring, and, you know, just all this stuff. And now we're talking about it as history. And yet history is not finished. We are still writing history. And we are getting ready to write one of the greatest chapters that the book of Acts has ever been written. The church is about to put an amen on the book of Acts. Amen. And we get to be a part of that. Amen. So we have to start saying, God, I just want to see you. I just want to see your power. I want to see the manifestation of your presence, and I believe in you. The thing that we've got to do, church, is get back to the awe of God's presence. We can get so used to His presence, but we've got to get back to the wow of His presence. Amen. When we feel the presence of God, we shouldn't just say, oh yeah, like a familiar chair we sit down in. No. We got to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. When the glory of God is poured out, we can't just say, yeah, I expected that, and, you know, it's normal and all that kind of. No, we need to stand back and say, oh, we got to maintain that awe of His presence, that awe, that love of His presence. You know what is going to transform people? When we stop wondering if it's going to happen And we start being so full of anticipation and love that we can't wait for the next one. You meet somebody in town, and instead of wondering, oh, should I pray for him? Is God, will you heal him if I pray for him? Instead, we're going to be so full of love, it's going to flow out of us whether they want it or not. It's just going to flow. Amen. Oh, people say, well, I don't believe that kind of stuff. That's all right. Just enjoy it. People will be saying, I don't believe in it the whole time that they're being filled. Kind of like a nurse in ICU unit talking about a lot of the belligerent alcoholics that come in there and they have to try to take care of them, and said they'll be fighting with them and stuff, and said she'll just grab that little needle, put it in her IV, and they'll be saying, I'm not going to. And she says, good night. As she compresses the syringe, and they, good night. That's about how it's going to be with the presence of God. There's going to be people saying, well, I don't go for that kind of stuff. And the whole time it's going to be overcoming them. Amen. I don't believe in talking until everybody. Next thing you know, they're going to be chewing you out in tongues, and they want to, it's like, what? I just got filled. I know people think this stuff's crazy and it can't happen. That's the problem. We've got to get back to believing all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. All things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Praise God. Oh, listen. I believe the Lord has tried to get across to us today that there is a demonstration of the Spirit of God that is beyond our capacity to understand, but not beyond our capacity to be a part of. Praise God. I believe we're going to see it not only here, but around the world. Hallelujah. Different parts of the world, we're going to see some of the most tremendous outpourings that we've ever seen. Praise God. And it's going to be right here in our area. Amen. Praise God. Right here in our area. And I told some pastors the other day, you know, we've got a lot of good people starting to come in here. Brother John Kupacker is going to be down at Cedar Valley Church February 13th, 14th. Tremendous man of God. Love him. Respect him. He's going to be there, but I got to tell you something. Revival's not going to come from somebody like that. They can encourage us. They can build us up, but this is where revival's going to come right there. People, the people of God. That's where the move of God's going to break out. It's going to come from us. All of a sudden, coming to the place where Christ in us becomes greater than anything we are and manifesting himself. Praise God. I believe it. I believe for a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just booked our flights to the Philippines the other night. Going to be going to the Philippines, leaving March 15th. And we've been over there. They're having a really good, I mean, things are really growing in the Philippines. They're doing good. But I have this anticipation that this trip's going to be different. Amen. And we're going to see a manifestation of the presence of God. That is going to cause us to say, whoa, hey, amen, praise God. What would just really bless me is if we got over there, had an awesome time, and God just translated us back and not have to ride those airplanes back. That would be amazing. Those 15-hour flights, you know, just is just eternal. But I believe, I anticipate that we're going to see it. I anticipate it right here. Matter of fact, God's been speaking to me different things that he wants to do right here in this body. Right here. Amen. I told you last week, I was watching a little video of Katherine Coleman. And I didn't know Katherine Coleman. I've heard about her. But I was watching a little video. Never seen a video of her before. And she was a strange individual. she was very dramatic, you know, very, very dramatic, which is fine, which a lot of people had problems with because she's so dramatic. And yet they couldn't help but notice that even though they didn't really like a lot of her ways, they had to acknowledge the fact that that person just got healed. Okay, something's wrong here. I don't like this, but somehow God does. How could that be? If I don't like it, God doesn't like it. It run into a lot of people with that attitude. If I don't like it, God doesn't like it. And yet, the power of God, I mean, people were being healed of all kinds of things. All kinds of infirmities and miracles taking place. And as I was watching that video, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to do that at Healing River. Wow. I just sat back and said, okay. Amen. I don't know how he's going to do it. He didn't say, I'm going to do it through you. He didn't say, he just said, I'm going to do that at Healing River. Praise God. How many's up for some of that? Amen. I can go for it. Amen. I grew up in this thing. I grew up hearing about it. My mom and dad traveled with A.E. Allen and R.W. Shambaugh. I heard the stories. My dad has told stories for years about all the dramatic things that he saw and the healings and the miracles that he saw and the people being saved and just things that was beyond belief. He saw a woman that was burnt dead. She was burnt black, completely black. And he saw her come back to life. And all the black come off of her like dust with brand new skin. He saw that with his own eyes. He was standing there holding the gurney while Brother Allen was praying. And the first time he prayed, it didn't happen. Matter of fact, he said when the ambulance pulled up to the family told him to take the woman. She had been in a car wreck. The car exploded and she burned inside of the car. And the family said, don't take her to the mortuary or whatever, or the hospital. Take her to this tent revival. And they backed up to the tent revival, and my dad was the head usher, whatever you want to call it. And he went out there and asked them what and they unloaded that woman, and my dad said he was thinking, And he went and told Brother Allen what was going on, and he said, Brother Allen said, bring her in here. And he said, the whole time I'm thinking, You're biting off more than you can chew on this one. And he pulled her in there, had a sheet over, and he prayed, and nothing happened. He said, Brother Allen stopped and said, folks, we're not going to be defeated on this one. We're going to pray again. And he talked to people about their faith and built their faith up. He said, we're going to pray again. And that time he prayed, and Dad said, I was standing there holding the gurney with my foot, and he said, the whole time I was thinking, Doc, that's what he called him, Doc. He said, you're gonna be disappointed on this one. And he said, then all of a sudden the gurney shook. And there was movement. And this lady started sitting up. And they had to grab the sheet and wrap around her because it burned all of her clothes off of her. And they grabbed the sheet and wrapped around her, and all that black burnt skin fell off of her like dust, and there was brand new skin underneath. He saw that with his own eyes. It wasn't somebody telling a story. And I've heard this for years. I've heard these stories for years. Amen. And then he tells a story about a woman that died in one of the services. Didn't have no family members there. And she died right in the service. Dad went to Brother Allen and said, what do you want me to do? He said, leave her there. He said, what are you talking about? He said, just leave her where she's at. He said, you mean just... He said, yeah, just leave her there. For 3 days, that lady laid there in the tent dead. And then one morning, he got up, and Brother Allen said, God's gonna show us something here. Leave her alone. I mean, you talking about faith. By this time, she stinketh. 3 days. And Dad said he got up one morning and went to get things ready at the tent, and he said he walked back where they had some hoses or something, I forget what it was, and he said I walked back there, and there that lady stood washing herself off. 3 days. And all of a sudden she got up with nobody praying for her. You're talking about revival. I mean, people saw her laying there for 3 days dead. And next thing you know, she comes walking into the service. And I doubt that anybody says, well, that's good. Isn't that precious? No. Some of y'all that's really rigid would probably be shouting in the aisles. Or else passed out, one or the other. Amen. See, we've heard these things. We've heard stories. But we don't need any more stories. We need participation. Amen. Participation. To see the things of God happen. Amen. And a lot of times it happens without us even knowing it. There was a guy in Haiti where we was holding a meeting in this church in Paysonville, part of Port-au-Prince. We were holding a revival there. The first night I prayed for this guy. He was blind. He just had milky white eyes. And he was blind, completely blind. And I prayed for him and really didn't even pay attention. All this came back to me later. And the next night I got there, and this guy come running. He's about this tall. This guy come running up to me and grabbed me and just held on to me. You know, I was saying, praise the Lord, you know. And trying to just comfort him. I couldn't get him let go of me. And he finally let go of me. When I walked to the front, he walked with his arm around me, just smiling ear to ear. And he did that every single night. I couldn't get away from this guy. And I kept thinking, what is up with him? And the last night, before the last service, I was in bed, and this guy had beautiful brown eyes. As he would look at me and just so happy, and I noticed his brown eyes. They wasn't really a dark color, it's kind of a tannish color. And I'd look right in his eyes when he just smiled and just so happy. And the last night, before the last night of the meeting, I was in bed, and all of a sudden I sat straight up. As I realized that was that guy that I prayed for the first night that just had milky white eyes. He was blind. And all of a sudden I got excited. Amen. This guy was a nuisance to me until I realized that. And that night, the last night when I got there, I was looking for him. And when he come running up to me, I grabbed him. And I looked right in his eyes. And they were just these bright, tannish colored eyes, lenses in there. God healed him and I didn't even know it. Amen. We couldn't communicate. So I didn't know what had happened. Things like this is what God wants to do. But he wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through the people. Amen. Just the people of God. Hallelujah. Just an outpouring of the Spirit. I'm going to have to quit. I'm excited today. Amen. I'm seeing it. I'm experiencing it. I see it in my spirit. I'm starting to see it with my eyes. It's happening. It's not going to happen. It's not coming. It is here. It's happening. We just simply got to start pressing into it and say, stand up and shake it off. I'm not going to be bound by oppression. I'm not going to be held back by my thinking. I'm not going to let stress and pressure overwhelm me. I'm going to get up and I'm going to press into the presence of God and start experiencing the freedom and love of Almighty God. Stand with me today if you would. Hallelujah. To feel and experience the presence of God. To know His presence. To know His presence. To know His presence. Hallelujah. To know His presence. Thank you, Father. So many of us think the move of God is just this awesome, sweet thing that, I tell you what, it's a war. But in the war, tremendous things happen. Outpourings are not just these nice little things where there's no problems. It creates more problems than we can think of, but out of the problems come miracles.